Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you had to prepare a gourmet meal, which would you rather have? A Martha Stewart cookbook or Martha Stewart in the kitchen cooking beside you? Would you rather have a Joe Maurer instructional hitting video to teach your child, or would you rather have Joe Maurer show up to your backyard and teach batting practice? Well, I think the answer is pretty clear. You'd much rather have Joe Maurer or Martha Stewart in person than just a set of instructions on how to do something. But that was a problem. That was exactly the problem with the Pharisees. They chose, you might say, Martha Stewart's cookbook, and not just Martha Stewart's cookbook, but Martha Stewart, their commentary on Martha Stewart's cookbook, over Martha Stewart. They were so obsessed with interpreting and translating God's Torah, his law, that when God actually showed up, they ended up criticizing him and his disciples. In the verse right before our gospel lesson for today, Mark tells us that people were coming just to touch Jesus' cloak, and they who touched it were healed. However, the Pharisees don't care about healed people. They are upset that Jesus' disciples are eating with unwashed hands. You see, God's law had instructed Israel to wash their hands before touching certain temple articles. The Pharisees created their own tradition, in addition to this, of washing their hands much more often. Generally, a pretty good idea. Their line of reasoning was, if washing your hands some pleases God a little, washing your hands a lot should please God a lot. But the problem was they've gone way overboard. Imagine a reporter accusing the Super Bowl MVP of having dirty hands. I mean, who cares? He just threw the winning touchdown. Would you be offended if a lifeguard had some sand on their hands when they saved a drowning child? Clearly, hopefully not. I'm willing to bet that the families of those whom Jesus had just healed weren't complaining about the disciples' dirty hands. Jesus tells the Pharisees, "You guys, you're completely missing the most important point. Can't you see? You're so fixated on a little dirt that you can't see that the Son of Man has come down to save the earth." But because Jesus' disciples didn't follow this tradition of the elders, the Pharisees were offended. "You can't be from God. The proof's right on your disciples' dirty hands." In response, Jesus quotes a section of Isaiah, the section that was our Old Testament reading, saying, Isaiah was not just prophesying to his own people, he was prophesying to you guys today when he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Clean hands, dirty hearts. If we were to paraphrase Jesus and Isaiah from chapter 29 of Isaiah, it might sound something like this: "Your lips are all flapping, singing my praises, but your hearts are miles away from truly worshiping me. You serve not me, you serve yourselves with your own rules. You're completely ignoring the most important points. Follow the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." How could the Pharisees have missed their cook, their favorite cook, by instead focusing on their cookbook? Well, the reason the Pharisees missed Jesus was more than just an issue of intelligence. It was a heart issue as well. They missed Jesus because they ignored the most important ingredient, repentance. They were so intent on being good, on being perfect, on looking perfect, that they disagreed with God when he came to see them. They were more obsessed with the rules and traditions and regulations than with worshiping God. They had lost the forest for the trees. So consumed, for instance, with this itty-bitty law and their tomes of interpretation on it, that they had lost the big picture and they had lost sight of the big guy. Does that ever describe you and me? Does that describe our church ever? So caught up with the minutiae that we lose sight of Christ. Clean on the outside, but a mess on the inside. Do we ever lose sight of Jesus because we're obsessed with the rules? Do we ever lose sight of the full scriptural picture of Jesus because we become obsessed with one little verse? Yes, of course, we still do this. For instance, one hot topic, hot button issue is Christians often get caught up with a single issue like homosexuality or abortion, and in the process, we sometimes lose sight of Christ. You see, the church's main goal, Jesus' main goal and his mission when he was on earth was not to change all the laws, it was to point people to himself. And yet sometimes we get so bent out of joint by political or legal developments that we completely lose sight of Christ. We're so busy grumping and whining that we miss an opportunity to listen to those who are hurting or to speak God's truth in love. Now, this world definitely needs people to speak the truth to it, but sometimes we get so obsessed with saying bad, 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 that we forget about God's good news for all people. And we, like the Pharisees, become so good at pointing out others' problems that we can become arrogant and prideful. There's lots of cases in which we might do this, and there's lots of times when we sometimes get more caught up with our traditions, our own personal traditions, or our church's traditions, than we do with God's mission. For instance, sometimes even when we're very involved, like being involved, being on a board, or volunteering for Sunday school or VBS, sometimes we still end up saying and treating others in a very un-Christ-like manner. You might come to church very regularly, but you ever treat coworkers or classmates like they're dirt? There is a time to speak and a time to listen, but sometimes we get so obsessed and caught up with certain things that we lose track of times when we should just listen and also times when we should speak. The truth is, we don't just need another set of rules. We don't even simply need the Bible. We need the Bible because it points us to Christ, and it gives us his Spirit to guide us. Again, I'm certainly not saying that we should try to rewrite the Bible, but there are times when we need to listen to God's Holy Spirit. There are times when it is time to listen, and there are times when it's time to speak the truth in love. And if we're consumed with our own feelings and our own frustration and anger, we often miss the right opportunity. We may say the right thing, but we may say it at the wrong time. We have to make sure that we are not just following the traditions of men instead of Christ. We don't want to just, for instance, turn back the clock to the 1950s, because the 1950s had their problems just as we do today. We want to turn people not to any particular time period. We want to turn people to Christ. There's lots of changes that are often going on and things that are difficult there, or that people have different opinions on. For instance, we've got a new screen up here in church that's been more talk about different kinds of worship services. Even the building committee has moved forward to getting some proposals for sanctuary updates. You might say that the change is in the air, even here at Redeemer. And I want to be clear, it's not my job to tell you what to do. And really, honestly, you may not believe me, but I don't care all that much whether we have a screen or not, or whether we have traditional or contemporary worship. But it is my job as pastor to tell you how to do these things. When you come to a fork in the road about something that is not clearly answered in Scripture, then it's more important how you handle that question than the answer necessarily that you come up with. Whether you keep everything exactly the same or change absolutely everything, when you make minor or major changes, the way that you do them should point to who you are, your identity in Christ as God's people. Whatever else we do, we must keep Christ at the center. And if we keep Christ at the center, we're not going to fail. Whether you're more interested in contemporary or traditional, you should think about why it is that you like one style over the other. Does it point you to Christ? Does it point others to Christ? How will it affect your fellow Christians? If you remember the principle of joy, I think that will help us quite a bit. Joy is, as we got Jesus, putting Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. Our worship, our sanctuary, should direct us first and foremost to Jesus. Secondly, our worship should help others encounter Christ and learn more about Christ. And then last on the list is what your particular preferences. See, if we all adopted that attitude, then it wouldn't matter what we did. It wouldn't matter whether we did traditional or contemporary or massively overhauled the sanctuary or kept it exactly the same. If we put Christ at the center and we cared about others and put our own preferences and wants last, then it would work out wonderfully and we would be a faithful and effective witness for Christ. Our identity should not be primarily based on rules or traditions or on our service style or our sanctuary. Our identity is found in Christ, our crucified King. The Pharisees had a problem because they had clean hands but dirty hearts. There was only one solution to their problem, Jesus. There's only one solution to our problem, too. We need our Savior. We need the blood of the Lamb that washes us and cleanses us from any and every sin. For all of us have sinned. All of us have often let our own wants and desires get in the way of Christ. And for that, we thank the Lord that He has given us a Savior, that He forgives us our many sins, and that He washes us clean. He has saved us poor, miserable sinners, and we want to share that good news with others. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue by